Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Packers take this guy's on the inside. Now, here's Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood on The Fan.
Brought to you by PNC Insurance. PNC Insurance, an independent insurance agency for all your home, auto, and commercial business needs. Visit them at pc-insurance.net.
Packers beat the Seattle Seahawks 28-23 and a chance now to play a 60-minute football game for the right to go to Miami in Super Bowl 54. Can't believe we're saying that. We're joined now, as we have been all football season, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, by our guy Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and our Green and Gold Insider here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Woody, I know I've asked you this question about 17 times, but go back to while you and I were waiting in the nacho line at Soldier Field week one. Did you ever expect that I'd be talking to you with a trip to San Francisco, of all places, for the NFC title game?
No. I said in the preseason, I thought best case scenario, they're 12-4. But even still, I didn't think that they'd be a final two Super Bowl contender. I mean, they've, at least in my mind, and I had a pretty lofty ceiling for this team going into the season, comparatively. You ask around, 12-4, not a lot of people had this team going 12-4 at best case scenario. That was my best case scenario for these guys. And even still, I didn't think they'd get to the doorstep of the Super Bowl, which is where they now are. So they've exceeded basically any reasonable expectation that anyone could have had.
No, they have. I mean, they got 14 wins. And just let me ask you this. Do you feel like they are ascending still right now as a team?
You know what I feel, Gary? I feel like this team is way better than anybody's given them credit for all year. And that starts with me, anybody. We're so used to it looking a certain way when this team is good, right? For a decade, when this team is good, it looks one way. It looks like video game numbers on offense. It looks like Aaron Rodgers airing it out and doing ridiculous things. The type of things, frankly, that you saw Russell Wilson do yesterday. It looks that way. And it hasn't looked anything like that this year. And so the natural, when it's different, that it's unrecognizable, that the natural, I think, inclination is, well, this team's not really that good because it's different, right? This team's better than the team that was in 16. This team is clearly better than the team that went to Atlanta and got the doors blown off of it.
Yes.
Running the table. It's a better team. They're more balanced. They're deeper. Talk about depth. Jared Belvedere. There you go. I mean, they've got a guy that can come in on no warning, no moment's notice whatsoever, and play an entire divisional playoff round game at right tackle and not be a problem. I mean, how often have they had that in the past? Defensively, completely different. They're a completely different defense. This is the best defense that they've had since 2010, period. So it's different, but this team is way better than what anyone's given it credit for all year. And I think they know that. I mean, they know that quietly, internally, inside, that they haven't been given the credit that they're due, and I think it's fueling them in a way.
When you talk about that style of it, Ryan, just trying to compare it to the other teams, do you believe this is the best opportunity that Aaron has had to get the second ring, counting in 14, 16, and now here in 19?
I don't know that this team is better than 14. I'm not sure if it's much worse than 14. The thing that this team has that 14 had, the most direct comparison, it's very clear. They've got everyone healthy this year. It's conference championship week, and we're going to be standing on the sideline there in the Don Hutson Center in practice watching this team and everyone's going to be available unless they, you know, obviously have the flu bug, but that'll pass. Everyone's going to be available. That was like that in 14. I still remember that week before going out to Seattle, being inside the Don Hutson Center and thinking to myself, they've got everybody healthy. This does not happen. Well, it happened again 5 years later. So it's a huge, huge benefit. It's a huge difference to most years. And it's a reason why when you have something like this happen, you have everyone healthy in the middle of January, you have got to maximize that.
No, no doubt about it. I feel like that's what they have. And, you know, everybody was wondering, too, about the play of Aaron Rodgers, him within his offense. I thought Matt LaFleur probably coached one of his better games offensively.
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And I'll put it right there on 3rd and 8 before the connection at the end to the Devontae Adams. What was it, 2:19 left? How many coaches there? The Seahawks are out of timeouts. How many coaches there just run the football and try to get out of it?
Yeah, that's what Billy was saying earlier.
Yeah. Well, and the Seahawks had two timeouts at that point, Ryan. They had two because they had just burned their first, and he rolls out to the right, throws the ball away, or he tried to get it to Devontae and spiked it. That throw gave them an extra timeout, and he said, all right, I'll double down and do it again.
Exactly. You know who might not have thrown the ball there?
Oh, man.
We've seen it in the past.
Oh, man.
Mike McCarthy might not have thrown the ball there. Matt LaFleur did. They called a pass play. He went for the first down. He didn't want to give the ball back to Russell Wilson. Why would he? Russell Wilson balled out yesterday.
Yeah,
he was incredible. And he just said, you know what? Look, it might backfire. But given that decision, do you play it aggressively? Do you play it conservatively? Matt LaFleur played it aggressively and was rewarded for it. That was a huge decision for a young head coach. And how about this, too? How many times this year in September did we talk about this offense and its stubborn refusal to throw to run the football in goal line situation for the 1 yard line? And what did they do at the end of the half? Really, probably the biggest touchdown of the game, that one that put them up 21-3.
Yeah.
They keep the ball on the ground three times. They get stuffed the first two times. They keep it on the ground for the third. They don't even they're not messing around with it. They're punching it in on the ground. Completely opposite of that week 4 game against Philadelphia. I mean, that's a young head coach that learned. So, and learning's part of this thing when you're doing it for the first time. He showed that he can learn from his past, and he plays it aggressively when it's called for. He coached a heck of a game.
No, he did. I thought he did.
Ryan, it's tough because talking to Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com here on the Wendy's Big Show, Gary Ellerson and Bill Schmidt with you on the Fan. When you are in that position in San Francisco, Ryan, everything all week long, the conversation was more off the field for Matt LaFleur. What is it going to be like coaching against Kyle, against Robert Saleh, your brother, all that good stuff? Those stories are still going to be told, and it's only going to get magnified this weekend. But when you're this team and everything went wrong against San Francisco, the game plan basically had to get thrown out. That may be the one game that I look back on and say, that was the inexperience of Matt LaFleur not being able to get the wheels back on the train early enough, and it became a pass-happy game, and you kind of forgot about Aaron Jones. This past weekend, it felt like they played their most complete game, and look here, you got 21 carries for Aaron Jones, 60-some yards, nothing great, just 3 yards a carry, but then you go to Devontae Adams, he got his 11 touches, and Rodgers was spectacular. I don't want to put the words too high in the cart before the horse, but it feels like they're peaking and they're playing their best football right now.
Well, I saw it on Twitter today, and I forget where, but I had the same thought too watching it last night. It reminded me of like the NBA playoffs when you shrink the rotation, and over the course of 82 regular season games, you're going to play more guys, keep guys fresh.
Yes.
But then when you get in a playoff series, you're shrinking that rotation. You might only play 7 or 8 guys, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the Packers offense did. They shrunk their rotation yesterday. Aaron Jones, for the first time ever, was the bell cow workhorse exclusively.
Right.
Jamal Williams got, what, 2 carries? Aaron Rodgers was second on the team in rushes with 5. Aaron Jones was – they were giving it to him, period. And you see how much better the offense is when he's getting all the touches and he's the focal point. It's pretty good. So, yeah, no, there's no question. You know, I think that Matt LaFleur, he said it today, he's going to go back and he's going to watch that film. this, you know, it's tough when you're going against your mentor. It's tough the first time to outdo your mentor, and he got out coached in that first game. There's no question about it. He admitted to it after the game, and I think it helps more than it hurts now, because through process of elimination, they know what didn't work. So they're starting ahead of the curve because they know what didn't work last time, and so they can go find out what will.
And also with that, Pettine, we haven't talked much about Mike Pettine too, but sure. I thought, you know, the blitz that he brought off the corner in the two-part conversion with Jaire Alexander was absolutely incredible as well.
Oh, that was huge. Absolutely. And it changed the game, because now you don't need a field goal. You need to go get a touchdown to the Seahawks. So, you know, the thing with this defense and what's different with this defense from that first game when they coughed up 37 points, the communication-wise, the Packers' defense was a mess in late November. They had all kinds of miscues in their communication process. It was leading to a ton of big explosive plays for the other team. Look at George Kittle, no one covering him down the middle of the field in the third quarter of that game. Those type of things were happening for a few weeks there, but it really came to a head against San Francisco. Since then, this Packers defense has been much better in the month of December, and the big reason for that is they went back, they rewired the communication process, they fixed the issues, and they haven't been having that problem. They've been on the same page communication-wise. As a result, you're not seeing near the explosive plays given up. So that's a huge difference from this Packers defense now going in this San Francisco week to that one that went into late November.
Ryan Wood joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. What about Jared Valdir stepping in with, I know you mentioned just before, but Brian Bulaga, to have that situation, that type of a game, not be able to go, and then be able to count on Valdir, also be able to count on Tyler Irvin for the couple of times that he touched the football. And Ryan, they kicked away from the Packers' return man. That would have never happened 2 months ago. Brian Gutekunst being able to add in season, while Emmanuel Sanders, who you're going to play this weekend, may have been the flashier move, value-wise, the Packers got the two guys that they needed, and similar to what they did in free agency with 4-for-1, where you thought they would have the money to go and make the deal for Khalil Mack, instead they signed four guys that all started 16 games for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you guys, with my Pro Football Writers Association vote for Executive of the Year is Brian Gutekunst.
Yes.
And how he's not in all forms, I don't know. You hit it right on the head, Billy. I mean, the fact that they went out and they overhauled the defense with the money in the spring is one thing, and it was huge. I mean, you can't overstate how important the Smiths were, especially having both of them. You saw last night how important having both of them in tandem is, because two Smiths were greater than one Wilson. I mean, that's what it came down to. But the in-season moves, to get a guy in Jared Valdir off the reserve retired list, granted he hadn't played in a year, but to get a guy that has 120 career starts, to get a guy that was the left tackle against your team, against the Packers in 2015 for the Arizona Cardinals in the division round that won that game and then went to the NFC Championship game that year, so that when he's sitting at home Sunday morning and watching pregame of Chiefs-Texans and sees on TV, oh, Brian Bulaga is sick. This might be significant for me. He knows to get his butt in the car, go straight to the stadium, figure out what's going on, and has the wherewithal after taking nothing but scout team reps for a week to all of a sudden flip his brain and be able to go from playing no snaps to playing every single one and having one play. Really, that first red zone snap on the first drive when Clowney beat him inside. Other than that, where did he get beat? He had a clean night all night. They ran their offense the way they wanted. And to do that on that stage, because he's been there before, because he's actually played in divisional round game for a team that won before, and for the moment not to be too big for him, that's Executive of the Year type decisions from Ryan Gutekunst.
What about Coach of the Year for LaFleur?
He's up there. You know, I probably would
who else
say
is there?
Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, you okay.
You know, they won the head-to-head. He's number one seed. The Packers can't have all the nice things, but he's going to be, I mean, he's a shortlist candidate. He's 13-3 as a rookie head coach. Now he's in the NFC Championship game. Pretty tough to beat.
Yeah, 4-12 is to 13-3 in the number one seed is pretty impressive. But I mean, it's like you said, it's mentor against the protege, and Matt LaFleur to be able to be in this position right now today, just stunning to be able to get this matchup and this fallout in the divisional round in the NFC title game in San Francisco. Ryan, it feels like the stage couldn't be set better for Aaron Rodgers to have the revenge on, one, the Seattle Seahawks, who I think killed his best opportunity at a second Super Bowl, and then, you know, to avenge this one as well.
How disappointed are you that you will not be a 49er?
Not as disappointed as the 49ers will be that they didn't draft me.
I mean, come on, Ryan.
The parallel in my mind is this. 5 years ago from this time, they won a divisional round game against the Cowboys, and they were going back to the West Coast for the NFC Championship game against a team in a building where earlier that year they just got waxed. I mean, they lost the opener of 2014 at Seattle 36-16, I think, a 20-point blowout.
Yeah.
And now they're going back to Seattle, and nobody, including myself, I remember thinking this, like, oh, they're not going back to the building. They just got blown out earlier in the year and winning this game. It's been a good run, but there's no way they're going to go back and actually win against this team. And, of course, I mean, they didn't win, but they were the better team. They outplayed the Seahawks that day for 55 minutes, and if not for a literal miracle, would have gone to the Super Bowl. So the fact that, I mean, it's the same thing. They just won a division game. Everyone, I mean, it's the easy thing to think is, well, it's a good run. They're going back to San Francisco where they just lost by 29 points 7 weeks ago. There's no way they're going to win this game. I'm not saying that the Packers are going to win. It doesn't mean that they're going to go and win. But I don't think that game 7 weeks ago means all that much at this point. I mean, it's 60 minutes of football. It's Aaron Rodgers with a chance to take his team to the Super Bowl. It's a team that is balanced more so than they've been since at least 2014, maybe 2010. They've got all the necessary ingredients there. I think it's going to be a well of a game, and I don't think it's a situation where because they've lost 29 points at San Francisco 7 weeks ago, they can't go there and win this Sunday.
I can't wait to just talk about this all week long, Ryan. You know how giddy I am, and everybody in this studio. Leroy and Gary are already going down to Miami, so they're just hoping Packers go and meet them there. And, I mean, you have to be giddy, too, because, I mean, now you're a year away from the New York Mets probably hiring Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah.
Wait, you got to punch me in the face like that, Billy. No, you know, that was interesting. So, you know, I'll say this, getting back on track.
I love this guy.
You were sitting on that for a long time, weren't you? You were just.
Ryan, I was waiting. Once I got the MLB Network report that they fired both of them, I said, man, the next place that they go is the New York Mets.
Got to be.
Oh boy! Well, you know what? If we win, then I'll take all the cheaters' attacks. I don't care. I'm a Mets fan. here's what I'll say: it never gets old. This will be the third conference championship game that I cover, and the feeling in the stadium, especially before the game, the realization of one of these teams about to go to the big thing, you know, mm-hmm. the big game. It's something you can feel. I mean, it's a tangible type of
yes.
environment. You feel the atmosphere, and that never gets old. So it's going to be a fun week. There's no question about that.
So when do you head out?
Saturday, early Saturday.
Okay.
What time are the Packers heading out? Are you guys going to be on the same flight?
Yeah, you going out there, Gary?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
He sounded like a depressed puppy.
No,
like,
I'm not.
Well, you don't have okay. the budget. Yeah,
all right, I guess my friend's not coming.
Okay. Well, because Woody knows if I go, he knows what's going to go down.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all know what's going to go
little
down.
Little scotch, you know, a little bourbon.
Yeah, we all know what's going to go down when you two guys get together. Allegedly. Ryan, appreciate it, man. We'll talk on Wednesday, all right?
All right, take care.
Can't wait to get ready for it with Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, here on the Wendy's Big Show. Guys, the best kind of beer to be drinking when the Packers are taking on the Niners in the championship game is a premium quality beer. Bofording beer, 100% natural barley, fresh hops, and the freshest spring water you can possibly find. It's all in Bofording beer. They've been brewing this stuff for over 250 years. Family-owned brewery, by the way, guys, because we know us here in Wisconsin love a good hometown family-owned spot. And what's better than over 250 years of family-owned brewing experience? And that's what you taste with the pinnacle of drinkability and smoothness. It's what they've achieved in their crisp Pilsner, the smooth triple ale, and the perfectly balanced brune. They're all designed to give you the full flavor that does not fill you up. Here's a little secret about Bofrink beer I got for everybody. Unlike other imports that everybody's drinking, Gary, those guys are all sellouts. They all brew their beer in these monstrous quantities, huge barrels that get rolled around by some guy, Victor, who's sweating all over it. Instead, at Bofrink, they're made in small personal batches with a little family touch. And you don't even have to put a piece of fruit in it to make it taste good. Saw some guy cutting up an orange last night at Lambeau.
Why would you
do
that?
Dude, you're at a football game. What do you have? What do you have a lime for? Instead, just enjoy some Bofrink beer and grab a six-pack at Total Wine & More, Raised Wine and Spirits, or any Festival Foods location. Also on tap at all Cafe Hollander, Cafe Benelux, and the Nomad, and Revere's in Delafield. And as always, tweet me a picture of your Bofrink. Not the Bofrink some dude tweeted at me this weekend. Please, no. It's at Bill Schmidt Radio. Drinking the Boff, Milwaukee's favorite smooth drinking import. Get an update from Mike Clemens on your green and gold. We're back with Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.